What a dog's breakfast this Novak Djokovic story has been over the last, week or so.
And if you're not finding what you need, let's fish even deeper. Oh, let's see what else we can drag out.
I saw Matt Shervington interviewing his mum, Novak Djokovic's mum, the other day. He's a good boy. He do not bad.
Well, what else is she going to say?
Exactly. I mean, I know there's got to be bigger things going on in the world, but we are obsessed. I mean, everyone's embarrassed. You know, now it's to – so he won his high court injunction, how he got to the high court before anyone else, who knows, money maybe perhaps. And but now they're saying that he lied on his form, and so is he going to get kicked out anyway? And we've seen crowds of people out the front of the – detention hotel. Novak, Novak.
That's what's getting me. The crowds of people who are coming in and getting around it.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And have you seen the Serbian, the leaders, the politicians?
Yeah.
It's almost becoming this international incident that it's about us v Serbia. And
it's certainly not the way that I thought World War III would kick off.
No.
it's not I was like, there are so many reasons it could take place, but that was not the one.
But, I mean, maybe it's because it's the Australian Open and it's sport and we're Australians and we're obsessed with sport that we're obsessed by the story. And I wonder if it is a big story in Serbia. I mean, he is like a national treasure.
Mm.
So I tuned in to a breakfast radio show in Belgrade.
Pietra Muš and Kim Ska. Get that Serbian feeling on Belgrade.
Dobro jutro, Belgrade, and dobro jutro, Judva.
Dobro jutro, Pietra.
It's gonna be a cold day in Belgrade, the greatest city in the world. It's -5 now, but should climb to -2 later on.
Oh, good day for an ice skate, Pietra.
Oh, ain't it nice a good day to skate with you, Kimska?
Get a room, you too.
Oh, dobro jutro, Mr. Grumpy.
Yeah, what are you like, Moshe? You know what will cheer you up. We've got cold, hard dinner to give away with our soup. Super Serbian songs. Sometime between now and 9, when you hear Pojedinak by Club Kasipornja.
Oh, that's a banger.
When you hear that song in full, give us a call on 3977 and you're going to the draw to win 75,000 dina. Does that cheer you up, Moš?
Oh, why are you grumpy, Moš?
Sorry, I'm just so angry about how these kangarooed Australians have been to the greatest Serbian that ever lived, Novak Djokovic.
Oh, it's terrible. His human rights have been stomped on by these pseudo-English convicts. I haven't been this angry since I got a parking fine on Ulica Svetogorska.
I knew this would fire up, huh?
Oh, of course, yeah. Apparently, the Australians are very strict on letting people in who haven't been vaccinated.
But, Pietra, Novak isn't people.
Mm.
Novak is Novak.
Yeah.
If Novak brought COVID to Australia, it would make Australia better.
Yeah.
What are they trying to protect? Just a country full of the flies and horrible salty black spread they put on the bread.
Oh, Moš, breathe.
Is that a COVID joke?
I love you,
Novak.
Get that Serbian feeling on Belgrade.
Wow. Interesting,
it is interesting.
So it is making news there as well.
Yeah, crazy. I've told many stories on the air over the last few years about where the family whose kids are the rambunctious, crazy ones who we need to drag kicking and screaming out of a store while everybody else's kids are sitting there quite nicely doing the cool things.
Not usually all of them, though, is it?
No.
It's normally the second born.
Well, it is, because there's the princess, the eldest, there's the dragon, the middle one, and there's the blob now, who's Oliver.
He's too young to be problematic.
He's too young to be anything. He's just nothing but smiles and poop and eating.
I want you to stop calling her the dragon and start calling her the character.
The character?
Yeah.
I'll write that down.
I mean, you do you. I mean, by the way.
That's just right, no problem. Yeah. But we were going into, we went crabbing in the river yesterday afternoon.
Of course,
it was great. It was so much fun. I actually haven't been crabbing for a good couple of years in the river. So we took the boat out and our kids were there and, my brother's kids and the family and whatnot. And before we had to do that, though, I had to go and get life vests for the kids. So we went to BCF a couple of days ago and it was the whole family. So it was me, it was Liz, and it was, you know, the three. Mm. And, you know, that's how you do a sort of a bit of a day out, just to get the kids out of the house. Because the school holidays is like, all right, you two, get in the car, we'll all go down.
We're going on a camping adventure.
Right. And we took a deep breath, because I know, like, BCF is a playground. It is. Like, there's stuff everywhere on shelves and all sorts. And there's bright colours. Because I know the second we're going to get in there, the kids are going to go absolutely bananas.
Well, it's BCF and fun, isn't it?
Right, it is, which is exactly what they did. So we got in there, we finally found these vests, and, you know, they want to pull the vests off. No, I'm going to do it, Dad, I'll do it. And they want to put them on and clip them in, and then they want to drag other things off the shelves. Izzy's found some hose, and she's come over to me, and she's stuck it on one of my butt cheeks, and she's gone, Dad, I'm blowing up your bum bum, like, you know, loud enough for everybody to hear.
Is that how you got such a pert butt?
Yeah, that's just it. It's inflated. Not the squats, mate, I tell you. Right, so that's, you know, and at that moment, in walks the perfect family, right? You know, Dad, Mum, young kid, around about the same age as our kids, and they're sort of just walking in, and I'm just looking at them, I'm like, you're so perfect. Like, what's your secret? This never happens for us. Our kids just don't behave. They're not quiet like that. And this kid, as his father plucks just a little tackle box, nothing special, nothing expensive, little tackle, gives it to the kid. And the kid, like, reaches up and goes, I love you, Dad.
Oh.
Thank you, Father. Right. Father, thank you for that sinker and hook.
And at that particular point in time, my eldest daughter, the princess who had her back turned to me, I swear, her head has spun around 180 degrees like she's some demon and gone, I want everything in this store, Father.
Now, of course, funerals are a very sad event, but they hopefully are a celebration of someone's life. And as I said yesterday, we were sort of marking the anniversary of a year since my mum passed, and you guys were there, and we scribbled on her coffin, which I thought was cool.
Oh, the whiteboard markers. I loved that. I thought that was gorgeous.
A gentleman by the name of Jamie, or Yami Iskander, has passed away in Chile, and he was there, the local side's number one striker. Right. And so they thought, well, how do we say goodbye? So they put his coffin on a soccer field right near at the 6-yard box away from the goal, angled it perfectly. One of the guys whacked a ball into the coffin and it went into the back of the net.
Golazo de Cristiano Ronaldo para el Real Madrid. Por favor, qué maravilla de ejecución.
That was obviously Cristiano Ronaldo. Obviously. There weren't that many people at the funeral, but it went viral and everyone's loving it and loving the fact that, you know, obviously tinged with tears and sadness, but you celebrate them in that way. And so we'd love to hear your stories of great, I guess it's sort of great funerals you've been to, right? When did you give someone a great last hurrah?
Yeah, and sometimes it's not even the funeral. You hear of these people who, like, you know, ambulance workers or paramedics or people who know they're at their last moment and they'll go to all this trouble to take them to their favourite place. Or, you know, it's just those things take a lot of effort and a lot of work to make it happen. And some people will just quite happily, you know, push through to get it there.
Absolutely. Whacking the ball into the coffin, back in it. Yeah. Of course, the video referee disallowed the goal. He wasn't offside. He wasn't offside. He was on the other side. Annette Tim Wellard, good morning.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Tell us about your awesome send-off or someone's awesome send-off.
I had a good mate whose mum, unfortunately, was passing away from cancer, and she'd been not well for a while. And, of course, you know, you've got an average amount of time left or whatever. So what she decided to do, she didn't want people to mourn her. So she actually organised her own wake, which became a drinking fest that went for 3 days.
Three-day festival. Fantastic.
And that, was anyone required to do anything? Did you have to bring food or was it anything special like that?
Yeah. Everybody bought, I mean, it was, you know, she organised food and everything like that. But everybody bought stuff that she really liked. Gifts as such, but yeah, they all told stories about how she affected their lives and what would stay in their hearts.
That's
beautiful.
That is fantastic.
I mean, that's how it should be, right? we celebrate people while they're alive. It's terrible when you hear all the wonderful things people say about each other and they're not even here to hear it.
Yep.
Three-day festival. I like that one, Annette. Thank you.
Have a good day, mate.
No problem.
We've also got Jackie in Scarborough. Now, you're a funeral director with the best last hurrah you've ever seen.
The best one, I think, I've had a lot, but the best one was a guy, his final wish was to have one final beer with his mates at the pub.
Mm-hmm.
So we organised with the pub to bring the coffin down. We set him up in the back room. We had his stool there, a beer in a pitcher. We had funeral service there. Then we took the coffin back out to the hearse, opened up the door, the windows of the hearse, and he drove through Bassendean with AC/DC High Road to Hell flaring.
Really fantastic. Oh, it's amazing.
Excellent.
Oh, the only thing that could have bettered that was if the beer tap came out of the coffin.
Well, guys, socialite Bryn Edelston, one of the ex-wives of the late Jeffrey Edelston, yes. The businessman,
yep.
She's pregnant, which is exciting news for her. She said she's thrilled because she's always wanted to be a mum, but she was told by doctors, because I think she's about 38 now, and she'd been told by doctors for many years that she probably wouldn't be able to have children.
Okay.
She wouldn't be able to conceive naturally. She'd have to go through IVF. And so it was a bit of an accident. She sort of went, oh, it was a big surprise. She didn't realise she was pregnant. She just thought she'd gained some weight.
Oh, really? Wow.
This could have happened to me. I would have been the kind of person who was like, oh, I had no idea I was pregnant because I just was snacking.
Yes.
Just no concept at all.
And I would imagine, you know, as one gets a little older, you think, well, maybe this is the start of menopause if your, you know, cycle's a bit disrupted and you're not thinking you're pregnant.
Well, yeah. I've seen these stories before and I often have a chuckle because having seen 3 pregnancies, kind of go, how do you not know?
Well, see,
how do you not know?
Pete, I might have been in that camp until one of my very dearest friends did not find out she was pregnant until she was 7 months.
You're joking.
Really? Now, she is a smart, intelligent, beautiful woman, and she just said, I was getting a few little stomach cramps.
Yep.
Now, I saw her when she would have been 5.5 months pregnant at the time. We didn't know. She didn't know.
Yeah.
But at 5.5 months, we were all saying how great she looked and how much weight she'd lost and how fantastic she was looking. And then a couple of months later, she rang and went, oh, my God, you're not going to believe what I've just found out. Because what happened is that it was a pretty easy pregnancy in the beginning. Mm. She didn't have any real symptoms other than sometimes her stomach felt a bit off. When she did a pregnancy test, she was already so far pregnant that those chemicals, your body's no longer producing those hormones, and so it doesn't show up on the test.
Ah, right.
So when she did a test at like 5 months, it came back negative.
Wow.
So because your body stops producing that hormone. So she had no idea. And I have heard these stories of women who will go to work and go, I've got some stomach cramps, and then have a baby that day.
Oh, it happened. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, you know, even though you think it's hard to believe and you're like, how could that happen? It does happen. And so I'm like, if everyone's experience is different, you just have to accept that some people can go to a full-term pregnancy and not know.
The Kress family were in Queen's Park on Mallard Way. It was George Street in those days. And I was at school with David Kress. And his mum had exactly that. They had a late baby and she went, oh, I don't feel so good. And bang, gave birth about 6 hours later.
Wow.
It's astounding. I mean, you haven't even got a chance to get your head around it. Nah. Like if I said to you guys, oh, I've got some stomach cramps and I'm just going to leave work. I went to hospital and then I text you a couple of hours later and said, turns out I'm a mum.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know who'd be losing their minds more. Because, haven't...
awesome. Save it on content for tomorrow. Go on, Kimber, do it.
Yeah, I think Mick's had it in my contract. It was like, better if I had a baby.
This is Pete, Matt and Kimber.
I've got to be honest with you guys. I think I am developing an addiction to Bunnings. I mean, you know, lowest prices are just the beginning of it. Now, and I'm someone who, you know, I like to think of myself as a bit of a follower of Epicurus, the Greek philosopher, whose name, of course, has been bastardised now to be Epicurean, like fine food. But Epicurus used to walk around the marketplaces going, stop shopping, it won't bring you happiness, sit down with your friends and have a loaf of bread. Mm. A simple life, you know. But I've got a man like me, I've got no place at Bunnings.
No. Maybe to go and replace some globes or pick up some batteries.
Oh, but honestly, I mean, you know, over the past 6 years, I've revealed myself to be, you know, not the handiest person on the planet. I've destroyed the lawn. You know, I've lost control of a 400-kilogram trailer in a caravan park down a grassy knoll. That wasn't very good.
You tried to recruit me to change the washers in your taps. be in your house because you didn't know how to do it.
Yes, and indeed, Kimber, you can attest to the fact that I went downstairs the other day or over the course of two nights in my Mazda 3 2006 that I've had for 6 years. I clearly haven't ever checked the radiator because I didn't know where you put the water.
This has been a saga
also,
for the past couple of weeks.
Don't just put water in there. You know that, right?
No, I know now, because I saw the red liquid.
You need coolant as well.
I thought it was where the battery would... Anyway, but I've been going... And, you know, like, what I think Bunnings do brilliantly, and it's an incredible model, right, business model, is even someone like me, I walk around my local Bunnings, we're talking about 44 aisles here, and I look at everything on those shelves and go, that could come in handy at some point.
Yeah. It's so true.
Isn't it? It's amazing too that like I love Bunnings, but I also love a bargain and it's one of the few stores that has a sale.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Because they have the occasional item that they're like, we're clearancing this, but they don't have a sale. But well, we will religiously go there and continue to buy stuff and they don't drop their prices.
The secret is in that messaging though. Like the whole lowest price at the beginning, we'll beat it by 10%. So we don't need, need to have a sale. We can always have a sale, but it's up to you to make sure that it happens.
Yeah, and nobody has as much stock as them.
Mm, it's clever.
It's brilliant. And again, someone like me looking at things that I don't really, if I'm honest, know what you do with it.
Yeah.
But I know it looks handy.
Let's give him a project. Let's get him to build a bookshelf or something for in the studio.
Oh, no.
Use all those things you picked out of aisle 44.
I'm working on myself at the moment.
Jeans, joggers, what's up? This is your thing.
Well, now that we are in a brand new year, we've got some new things that we want to try out on you guys.
Okay.
Some new things, like this thing that I've been told to play.
Hey, hey, what do you reckon?
What do you reckon?
I don't know that.
What do you reckon? So we want to know, what do you reckon about different things, topics of conversation, things in the news, just things that we've stumbled across. So what do you reckon about people that go to the supermarket without shoes on?
Okay.
So barefoot.
Barefoot.
Barefoot at the shops. What do we reckon?
Exactly.
Okay.
Cool. I thought we were going to be talking about the situation in North Korea. I'm much more comfortable with this topic.
Get that fun feeling.
All right. Yeah. I mean, look at these plates of meat.
Put them away. Put them away.
I'm so happy being on the side of the
desk. I'd skate barefoot if I could. I mean, I love being barefoot. I absolutely love it. I mean, so I certainly wouldn't judge someone if they were walking barefoot through the shopping centre.
Do you do it often?
What, walk barefoot through the shopping centre? Look, I don't, just because, I mean, I'm always in my thongs, but I'd be worried about sort of stubbing my toe or something, but I wouldn't be going judgy, oh, look at you.
Is that what you're worried about, just stubbing your toe?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I couldn't bear it.
Yeah?
Oh, pun. Just couldn't do it. I hate feet, and I don't even like being barefoot at home.
Well, and
I wear my thongs in the house.
I guess the interesting thing is, you wouldn't, but what do you think of other people who
do it? Judge.
You judge. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Judgy McJudge.
Okay.
There's something gross about it. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. I know that there's freedom. You can have your foot freedom. Knock yourself out. But I'm absolutely thinking, where are those feet going afterwards? Like, they're just filthy.
Yeah.
And if you step on a piece of glass or something, like, I just can't imagine why anyone would like that feeling on their feet.
Oh, you'd want to have a baby wipe in the car, that's for sure.
Oh.
I like feet.
Yes,
actually,
well, yes.
I do like feet. Yes, I quite like feet. Yeah. But that means that I also notice people's feet. Because I look, right? But I'm sort of on the fence a little bit, I think. No to shopping centres, but yes to some places. Right, so...
Parliament.
Actually, no, voting booth. I've seen a chick
in
her bikini with a towel wrapped around her waist.
No
shoes.
That's pretty cool. That's a good democracy.
Well, I'm happy to go barefoot to a shop like my local pool shop, for example, right?
Yeah.
But also because I've gotten to know them very well. So me walking in there, like, I'm not feeling judged when I walk in there in bare feet. But also it's a... You know, it's a standalone shop. I'm not having to walk into a shopping centre. But me, like a shopping centre, for example, no, for a couple of reasons. One, what if something happens, you need to pop to the loo?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't think of anything worse.
I can't even, you're taking me to a...
But the other thing is, right, is I don't know if it's the type of floor, like the tiles that they have in shopping centres or the epoxy or whatever it is, but they always seem to have this sort of film of darkness over the top of them. You can see scuffs. You can see hair. You can see things dragged in from the outside, things from people's houses. I can see this stuff on the floor.
What shopping centre are you going
to? Just shopping centres, mate. They're everywhere. They're like that. So just knowing that my foot is touching that with nothing in between drags my esophagus into my gut.
I think if you're just across the road from the beach, I wouldn't judge you if you went across the street to get a kebab.
Yeah.
But I would still be thinking it was just sort of disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't do it, but I wouldn't judge. So I wouldn't do it because my wife would kill me. She thinks my feet are dirty, disgusting things. Get those away from my bed right now. But I wouldn't judge you.
And she's right in doing so.
Yeah. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. Everyone loves a good gimmick. And this came out a little while ago, but I've only just realised. I'm only just getting onto it.
Right.
But Barilla Pasta created a Barilla Pasta playlist.
Oh, really?
So they teamed up with Spotify and they said, you know what, if we create a playlist that is the exact cooking time for pasta.
Oh, genius.
We're going to help everybody out.
Okay. It is brilliant. Yeah.
Okay, so all you have to do is throw the pasta in and press play and take it out when the playlist stops.
Brilliant.
Right, and they've given you a big selection too because you can choose from their mixtape spaghetti, boom bap for silly, Moody Day Linguini, Pleasant Melancholy Penne, Best Song Penne, Top Hits Spaghetti, Timeless Emotion for Silly, and Simply Classics Linguini.
Oh, hello.
And it's time to cook the pasta perfectly according to the packet that you have.
Mm.
So if you've got the for silly, you jump in there and you do it. And they're all 9 to 11 minute playlists. And it's really cute because they're promoting Italian artists.
Oh,
so it's Italian artists. So I thought I'll grab
Joe
a song.
Dolce again.
Like, is there a song that you want to hear from any of those, like the mixtape spaghetti boom bap for silly?
I do like Fusilli, so I'll take boom bap
the
Fusilli.
Boom bap?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
all right.
Here's a track from Boom Bap. Lo aspettano fra come un disco di Drake. Sono il mostro del lake. Mando a casa fake, liscio come l'olio.
Come la penna che scorre sul foglio. Jeez, this is amazing.
There's a few tracks in there,
yep.
And it's cool.
This is Italian hip-hop.
Yeah, I like it.
Wow.
So you just let that roll.
Okay.
And take it out. Maddie, you want something?
Well, I like Linguini. What was that last one?
The Simply Classics Linguini.
Oh, that's me, isn't it?
Okay, here's something from that one.
Maddie.
Lovely. And I mean,
Florence, get out of the kitchen.
The perfect pasta. Just don't do what I did because I left the Spotify Spotify playlist on repeat, and it was less al dente, more al gluey.